Now, yesterday on the programme, independent councillor from Kerry County Council, Jackie Healy-Ray, asked who benefits from wind turbines. Well, in order to answer that question and talk in general about what he knows of what's been happening in wind energy development in this country and this county over the last number of years, we were contacted by Conor Cody. He's an independent wind energy consultant, and I spoke to him and talked to him about the overall situation as to where we are, and spoke about where things are going from here, both onshore and offshore, when it comes to wind turbines and the role they play in providing the energy for our electricity grid into the future.
So I'm a wind energy consultant. I've worked for many companies in the last 20 years, but I'm an independent consultant for the last few years. I sort of pride myself in independence, so I see both sides of the story, but I think a lot of the time the side from the wind energy developers isn't very well represented. There's an awful lot of benefits. The question came up yesterday about what benefits are there.
Or who benefits from the wind farms in the county? Yeah.
Who benefits from wind farms in the county? And there was a report done by Wind Energy Ireland last year called Powering Kerry, and it pointed out that 10% of the rates actually come from wind farms in Kerry. That's over €5 million every year. Over 300,000 in 2019, over 300,000 was given to community funds. And that's before you even consider the great rents that the farmers get from leasing land to wind farm developers. So there's huge widespread benefits. Not even to mention the jobs. So there's a lot of jobs directly in wind energy, but also in things like construction. You know.
And maintenance as well. We've got some large wind farm companies based here in Kerry involved in that business.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, the question was who benefits from wind farms, and in a more general respect, we all benefit from wind farms because they do a great job in bringing down energy prices overall.
How do you counter then, or what do you say when you heard the argument as outlined on the programme as well, that when the wind doesn't blow, they're no good, they can't provide it? Or do you have to take an aggregate of the amount of energy provided by the days of the year when the wind does blow when you try and calculate that figure?
Yeah, well, there is a certain amount of variation, but proponents of renewable energy will point out that you always need a mix. A mix of renewables, and I think I'd love to see a lot more solar. And the big thing here is the planning. It's the problem for the people that are for and against. Anything you want to talk of. The big issue is the planning. I don't think it's fair on anyone. And the wind energy industry has been waiting on planning guidelines for the last number of years, and they were drafted. In 2019, and we're still waiting on those. So that causes major problems. But even for solar panels, solar farms, I should say, it take years and years to go through planning. When in actual fact, their visual impact is minimal. They don't make any noise. You would hardly know that they're there. But if they take years to go through planning. In other places, they would take weeks or months. So it's something that we could roll out really, really quickly in this country, and it would complement the variability of wind. And to fight the variability of wind as well, we also need a lot more interconnection. We need a lot more batteries. So all the solutions and the technology is there, but the variability as well across the country. When you connect the whole country up, and when you connect the country with Europe, the problem of variability really goes away,
So the wind is always blowing. The wind is always blowing somewhere, I suppose, is what you're saying.
The wind is always blowing somewhere, and it's always, if it's not blowing in the rare instances where it's not blowing in Ireland, it is blowing on the continent and vice versa, So this was the idea of the super grid, whereby we connect all of Europe, up with nodes, so that it's always, if it's not always windy, at least somewhere in Europe, it's always sunny, at least somewhere in Europe. So there's always this balance, and the bigger the geographical spread of the renewables, then the more consistent the supply. Yeah.
You mentioned, Conor, about planning there and the length of time it takes and the objections and the board panelas and the judicial reviews and all of that. But even this week, we have a company that's announced 100 jobs in Dublin, Mainstream Renewables Limited. There are a number of different projects they're planning offshore in the country. One of those in the southwest, they applied in April for a foreshore licence to investigate or to examine or explore the possibility and carry out surveys off the coast of Kerry. Now, these process projects, as you probably know far better than I do, take years to develop. However, they applied in April, and that's where things stand at the moment. We're here in August, and the foreshore, which is, this isn't the licence to build or to start drilling anything into the base of the sea to put a platform in or float a turn. This is just a licence to have a look. And we're 4 months on, and there's nothing happening.
I know, but well, why do we need planning permission to take a boat out in the sea and have a look? It doesn't make any sense. Either the same with wind farms on site. So we've got a situation where it could take a year and a half, 2 years to get permission to put a mast up. That mast is for investigation of a wind farm, to then see if you want to build. If you decide you're going to build a wind farm, then you have to put in for planning permission, and that takes years. So the whole process of building a wind farm can take 10 or 15 years. We don't really have 10 or 15 years. So without taking out the proper due process that's needed for ecology review, for noise, shadow flicker, the whole rest of it, and all that should be in place. And without taking out any of that, the planning process can be shrunk right down. And just, you know, we have to be a bit pragmatic about these things. Like for a wind farm now, there's a planning exemption where you can have a single mast of 80 metres. But if you want to put an extra 20 metres on top of that mast, something that nobody would even notice, or if you want to put in another mast on the site, your planning can be another year and a half. So I don't think people appreciate the time and effort and work that goes into studying these wind farms and studying their effects and making sure, you know, that there is a planning process there, and parts of it are very good, but it just takes
far too long, far too bureaucratic and far too long. Conor, can you answer the question then that was posed, and it's posed by our councillors who were talking about it. It was debated during the county development plan. It's talked about whenever an opposition group is objecting to planning in their area, particularly in the northern part of the county, that Kerry has done its fair share. Already have too many wind turbines, can't take any more, it's divisive against communities, and that other parts of the county or other parts of the country should be doing much more than they are. What's your response to that argument?
Well, absolutely, but I think the whole thing here is that the planning process is broken, and the planning process should support both the developers and people that don't want the wind turbine, you know, in their area or for whatever particular reasons. And, you know, those can be justified. I have an awful lot of favourite spots of my own where I wouldn't like to see a wind farm developed, and I can definitely see both sides of that. But the whole planning process must support, logical arguments for and against. It's stirring something up in people, usually people that aren't involved. There's a lot of, and it does, as you say, it's very divisive in communities, because maybe, you know, land farmers are getting an awful lot of money in leasing their land through a wind farm, and then their neighbours aren't getting anything. So there's a lot of that goes on as well, and jealousy. But Kerry has done great things, but there's an awful lot of benefits from wind farms. If the planning process is improved, then people will trust in it, and people will lodge their objections, and they will be properly heard.
Yeah.
But it's the planning process really that needs to be
overhauled and changed. Okay, Conor, look, you mentioned battery storage there and variability. You mentioned the issue of interconnecting. Where are we in terms of battery storage, in terms of supply? Or will we ever be to the situation whereby we will have batteries that are stable enough or powerful enough to be able to store the electricity when the wind is blowing for when it isn't?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be the variability or the interconnectivity that's going to solve that problem, do you think?
Well, I think you need a whole suite of tools in your toolbox, as it were, to deal with that. I mean, you've got demand side management as well, and interconnection is very important. I think it's in a little way the storage issue and battery storage is slightly overstated.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's hard for people to get their head around. For example, we're in the program for government where they're looking at having 1 million electric vehicles on the road, and there's an awful lot of storage within those electric vehicles.
Yes,
so that takes up an awful lot of nighttime excess capacity. You know, when people are most likely to be charging their vehicles. So all of this has to be, you know, connected. You have to think of the system that's going to be in place in the future, as opposed to what we have now. And what we have now is we have a lot of wind energy spilling, you know, being wasted, and that should be captured by batteries. And they are coming along. You know, there's a lot of technology coming along. And even in North Kerry, there is a site where they're using batteries on the wind farm. So all of that technology is coming online, but we have to look at every way of doing it. AirGrid and ESB are fantastic as well, because around the world we have the highest one of the highest penetrations of renewable on any grid. You know, that's something to be quite proud of, and we should be pushing that all the time to be world leaders in this, you know. So.
Yeah. Conor, final point. We're told that obviously we have a huge natural resource here in terms of our west coast and the amount of wind that we do have to tap into. A big part of that will be away from the coastline, will be along our coastline, will be offshore. I know you've worked on the Arklow Bank, which is mentioned on the programme this morning.
Yeah.
How many years away are we, do you think? I mean, it's a fairly reductive question, I understand. How quick does it need to be done that we have offshore off the coast of Kerry and an industry onshore to benefit from that in terms of jobs?
Yeah, well, in terms of offshore wind, it's really, the industry is really split into two categories. So there's the floating and then there's the non-floating. So Arklow and on the east coast, most of the sites will be not floating, so anchored into the ground. And the time for those is relatively quickly. You should have 5 or 6 projects in the water and possibly twice what our current demand is located on the east coast, and that's all before 2040. So a lot of that by 2030 if we get our skates on. But then the floating then is, you're talking about 2050, 2060. There are two different categories if you like, but it all comes down to the planning, you know.
How fast it's done while doing it safely to enable industry to get involved and get them up and running. There you go. That's Conor Cody there. Speaking about, I suppose, wind energy, where we're at, he says, well, you know, who benefits from wind turbines? Kerry County Council, for one, €5 million a year in rates, not to mention the community payments that get paid and other aspects of it. Feels the future is in, and as an interesting one, I wasn't really aware of interconnectivity rather than battery storage, although battery storage will be part of it.